What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Amy, Drew, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to FP Presents CF Montreal 3 Questions. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
JP would be happy. 22 is his hockey number. So I think it might be week 22. Maybe, anyway, cut all this out. this is CF Montreal 3 Questions, part of our Footy Prime lineup of MLS specific pods. You can check them all out wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find one on TFC, one on Whitecaps, but obviously you're here for all the Montreal talk. And I'm joined today by John Still, who is a host on Melnick in the Afternoon, or co-host, I should say, and also play-by-play man on 690 for the club. And I'm the lowly sideline reporter, sometimes analyst, but I chime in a lot and John puts up with me. So I thank you for that. How are you doing, John?
I'm fantastic. I do more than put up with you, Amy. Far more.
You laugh at my bad jokes and puns?
No, it's more the fact that it's more the fact that I think that we just have a good time. I think if you listen to our broadcast, that is the main thing that stands out, is that myself, yourself, and Grant, no matter what kind of chair we're sitting in, are usually having almost too much of a good time based on the football that we have to see kind of week in and week out with CF Montreal.
Yes, I was going to hit on what you said, no matter what chair we're sitting in, because right now Grant was meant to join us, but he's sitting in a waiting room chair waiting for his daughter to get some dental work done. So that's why Grant is not with us. But yes, the football of late has been uninspired by CF Montreal, a team that is still kind of hanging around. They're in 11th place now, just below that playoff line where the top 9 make it in, the 9th place team in a play-in round. But this team can never really seem to put it together. And that performance on Saturday night, you were there, it's Pac Stadium, we were chatting about it off air, against their fiercest rivals in TFC. And they have the 3 returnees, the 3 pillars down the spine of the team in Waterman, Chouinard, and Piette, who return. All of a sudden, everybody's healthy and available. And yet, it's plodding. It's pedestrian. They can't seem to put anything of note together, John. So what is your take on this team and where they find themselves during the MLS break for the All-Star game?
Oh, boy. You know, I think it's really got to go back to the drawing board if you're Laurent Courtois. Like, let's be honest. I saw the team sheets coming out for that game and all the hype and the pomp and circumstance about 5-1 and talking to the fans after that loss in Toronto and unacceptable. And everything was – all the right words were said. Everything was said the way that fans and I think media and pundits would have liked it to be said. And then you saw the team sheet and you just knew they were going to lose. You just knew when this constant worshiping at the altar of 2 players in midfield for CF Montreal, it just can't work. It doesn't work with the horses that they have out there. If you compare that to TFC, where I didn't think that it was a particularly great performance from Toronto FC on the weekend, but you have Jonathan Osorio and Lorenzo Insigne being able to drop in and play as that third midfielder off of one another and allows Owusu to do whatever he wants up there. Montreal, it's like two strikers are going at the same time or 2 guys are dropping at the same time. There's no cohesion in the middle of the park. And you played in the middle of the park, Amy. You lose that battle, it's over. It's very, very difficult for you to really get anything going, especially a team that in my mind is short on talent like CF Montreal. And so considering what fans wanted to see at Saputo Stadium, for it to have been as dull as it was against Toronto FC, I think is majorly disappointing. And for me, who thinks that there is enough talent on this team to make it into the MLS postseason, it put a dent in my confidence as to whether this team can string enough matches or good consecutive matches together. They've only won two games in a row twice all season. Like, it's August. Like, you're just outside of getting into like the final eight or nine games of the year, and they've only won two games in a row all year long. And it's more the fact that everyone else around them seems to also be not up to snuff that is keeping Montreal in shouting distance of the playoffs. Nothing that they're necessarily doing out there on the pitch.
So the mediocrity of the teams around them in that Eastern Conference are kind of saving them, as it were. But I want to take you back to what you said about our two midfielders. So I imagine when you said worshiping at the altar of those two pillars, those stalwarts in the middle of the park, you're referring to Chouinard and Piette. So do you think that it's not the two of them as players that's the issue, but do you think it's their profiles and their attributes as players which don't allow the other to excel or to give CF Montreal what it needs in order to make the middle of the park tick?
I think it's more the fact that they don't fill the space that you need to fill if you're two midfielders. You either have to have Jules-Anthony Vilsain or Joseph Martinez, or on the weekend, it was Ariel Lassiter dropping in and filling that space. And they didn't do that at all. And we've seen it over and over again. It's not anything against Mathieu Chouinard or Samuel Piette. I think Piette, you know, he's rather negative on the ball, and that's frustrating, but that's kind of always who he's been. So, you know, if you're coming into this and you're Laurent Courtois, you've seen video and you know who Samuel Piette is as a player if you're coming in as the new manager of CF Montreal. So I don't think it's them necessarily. I think you just have to figure out a way to tinker these things to have one of likely Chouinard in there, and whether it's Nathan Saliba or Bryce Duke, just someone who is filling that space. If it's Saliba and Piette playing deep and Chouinard playing a bit further forward, that's fine. If it's Chouinard and Piette in and it's Bryce Duke playing a bit further forward, that's fine as well. But to have just two bodies in the middle of the park for Montreal has been killing them all season long. And we saw, you know, we saw some positivity in that match against the New York Red Bulls in the second half after that very, very long rain delay where, you know, they went to a back four and they changed that and they added an extra guy in midfield. And it just, it was a breath of fresh air. It made a ton of sense. And then you went right back to it in the game against Toronto FC. And I just knew that this was going to be a very difficult day at the office for Montreal. And it was.
Yeah, I think that Chouinard needs to be freed up a little bit. He seems almost, when he's that dual pivot or he's in next to Piette, you might get a lot defensively, you might get a lot in terms of ground cover, insulating the back line, but you don't get a whole lot going forward. And I think the Mathieu Chouinard that you saw in that third place game against Uruguay in Copa America, I think is what CF Montreal fans expect to see when he puts on the CF Montreal kit, and it's just not what you're going to get. And obviously the quality of players are different. It's a different environment, things like that. But I think that's more what they want about him, or from him rather. But I just want to go back to something you said, John, about that rain delay. So when you're calling the game on the radio and there, how long was that delay?
That was 90 plus minutes.
How is that for you on the radio? Did you throw to something? Did you really stretch it out with you and Grant pulling out or going deep into that bag of tricks?
Well, I would have loved for you to have been on there because we definitely stretched it out pretty hard. But it was something that I think is probably Neil. Easy now. It was more so the fact that I think we talked about something that is near and dear to your heart, which is first of all, we played Jesse Marsh, who was here at Centre Neutrale doing the media blitz after Canada at the Copa America. And we played what he had to say. You know, he's a very thoughtful, very engaging guy. But the one that stood out, and it's the clip that's been making the rounds, is why does Moise Bombito only get really discovered at 23 years old? I know there are some people in and around Montreal and academies who did not like that comment whatsoever. But at the same time, it did bring up an interesting discussion that I would have loved for you to have been a part of, which is the problems with Soccer Quebec and Soccer Canada in terms of developing their players and recognizing, and that synergy and cohesion between different affiliations all under the umbrella of Soccer Canada. So that was a very, very lengthy discussion as well. But come on, it was 90 minutes. Like, after a while, I was like, yeah, this is a very engaging conversation for me. But I was like, can we play some football for the love of God? Because no one wants to hear me talk for that amount of time. But we survived. But a Walsh in there for some Tolkien references would have been pretty great.
It would have been some precious, precious content.
Ah, nailed it.
I'm looking forward to seeing John Tolkien at the Olympics. We talked about that on my hit on Monday because I'm not very plugged into what's happening for the men's Olympic bracket and the football competition. I'm solely focused on the women's, and a lot to discuss today with Dronegate, but we won't get into that. But I want to go back to CF Montreal. So they've been uneven. They seem to hit their stride, or they seem to find 30 minutes or a half where you think, okay, they're making strides. They're slowly putting this together, no matter what parts are out there or who's healthy or who's available. And then they go right back and they fall into bad habits, or the effort's not there. The way that they come out and Courtois wants them to be combative, winning the second balls, and that seems to go out of their game. So what do you think it is with this group that they seem unable to put together a comprehensive 90 minutes?
Well, it's difficult to be consistent when you don't have a consistent starting 11. Like, they just have not had a consistent starting 11 at all due to injuries as well. But I also think, like, I think it's a little bit more of a macro question that how empowered is Laurent Courtois really at this football club? Mm. Like, one thing that really stood out to me, and I know that, you know, speaking to people in and around the club, and, you know, there was some, let's say, people going over Laurent's head as soon as training camp back in Arizona. Like, you're going – Your coach is barely in play, and there's already people in the club who are going over his head for decisions that are being made on the pitch. And then add in the fact that when Gabriel Gervais met members of the media after he, you know, did his bilan mid-saison, the mid-season report review, ranking, yeah, whatever it is, he said that he had met every player individually, one-on-one. Imagine if you're Laurent Courtois in that situation and your boss is basically cutting you out of these meetings and saying that, you know, I am going to do one-on-one interviews with the players myself. How confident do you feel in your position? You've just had the people who hired you basically just be sent out the door just a few months earlier. And then right afterwards, the president is meeting every player one-on-one and not even making you a part of it. So, you know, I think that it's a macro question as well. Laurent's obviously learning on the job. There are things I disagree with the two players in midfield, of course. I thought that the lineup he put out there for a team that goes out of its way to say, we are committed to developing youth and giving youth a chance. There were only two guys, outfield players, who were under the age of 23 who were out there for Montreal. You know, like, there's a lot of guys right in around 30. And some guys who deserve to be out there, Joel Waterman walks right into the team. Mathieu Chouinard walks right into the team. Absolutely. But I know Samuel Piette's the captain. Nathan Saliba was terrific while he was gone. You know, if you're Mahala Apoku, why is Ariel Lassiter playing ahead of you considering the amount that was spent to bring this player to it? So there's a lot of kind of fluctuation in and around the club. And I think there's a fluctuation in terms of consistency on the pitch, because there's no real consistency either behind the scenes or in terms of the starting 11 week in and week out. So I would like to see Laurent Courtois pick 11 players and just stick with them. And whatever happens, happens. And then you know. Because I don't think that anyone really knows for a lot of players what they can bring you on a day-to-day basis, because some of them are subs, some of them are starting, some of them are subs, some of them you have no real ability to build any cohesion when there's that much turnover game in and game out.
Somebody, though, who has had the luxury of being a continuous starter is Joseph Martinez. And he is the type of top-end talent that Montreal has been starved of for years, or I mean, at least the last since the pandemic, I would say. Mm-hmm. And yet he's not delivering these, you know, he's getting huge chances, not putting them away the way that you would expect him to do and the way that this team needs him to do. So what do you think is at play there? Is he suffering from a lack of cohesion and chemistry and synergy with the players around him because of that fluctuation in the starting 11?
I think it's going to be very weird to say. I think he's too talented for the players around him, in that the players around him on the edge. There was an interesting comment from Laurent Courtois. I think it was after the game against, was it Philadelphia? Or there was a game at home in the last 2 weeks or so. And he said, there are some players who are more concerned with their, or it was against Atlanta. Sorry. So it's Joseph Martinez against his former side. And he said, there's players out there who are more interested in being individual and getting on the score line than it is helping the team win. And if you watch that game, and really a lot of the games that Joseph Martinez is in, he loves to do these little dummies and he tries to play these 1-2s on the edge of the box and they never come off. They just don't. I don't know if it's, you know, something that they don't work at in training, the conversations with the players that he's playing with, but it's always this like intricate kind of Arsenal circa Arsene Wenger kind of attempts on the edge of the box. It never works out. It just doesn't. And then, you know, he hasn't hit his chances. So I think it's a combination of course he was injured, but you knew he was injured when he was signed. You knew that he was someone who was injury prone on the wrong side of 30 when he signed for CF Montreal. It doesn't feel like he has any real running mate in the middle of the park. And, you know, it's hard to have a running mate in the middle of the park when the guys who are there are 10 yards away from you and Samuel Piet and Mathieu Chouinard and the way that it's set up. So I think it's a combination of things, but he has not brought any level of consistency that I think Montreal fans really wanted. The injuries have something to do with it, but I think it also just happens to be that he hasn't really found anyone to kind of play the same style of football that he wants to play out there. And he missed two glorious chances against TFC. There's really no doubt about that. Those were the two chances that had to go in the net for Montreal to either get a point or 3 points, and he missed them. And when you're getting on the wrong side of 30 and you're a striker in Major League Soccer, that tends to happen more so than it used to when you were a younger player.
It's happening, too, with the likes of Jules-Anthony Vilsain. He looked so promising at the beginning of the year and now has hit a little bit of a lull in his form where he looks like he's trying too hard. And then the occasions that he's getting, he's skying every single shot, not even getting it on frame. But I think to go back to Martinez, that match, I remember calling it and watching it, and Courtois was feeling very frustrated with the way that the team, they came away with 3 points. They won 1-0, but they were up a man for the better part of the second half and let Atlanta get into the game and to take it to them and to dictate and to be on the front foot. So I think that frustration was Courtois being disappointed with his side and maybe pinning it a little bit on Martinez, but certainly more has to be done in the way of service for him and for fluidity in the buildup so that, you know, you're getting these occasions, not just the one or two grade A chances, which of course he has to put away. That's what he's paid to do. It's the hardest thing to do in soccer. But there has to be a little bit more in the way of threatening buildup from CF Montreal.
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime, the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening and back to the show.
So, John, we'll shift gears a little bit. And one of the moves more recently, because there were a couple of players brought in Tom Pierce, and I hope I don't butcher this name. Is it David Bugage?
Bugay.
And Mason Toy exits. And Mason Toy is another player who plagued by injury for a really long time, looked like he was full of promise in terms of goal scoring, had a couple of runs with Minnesota and then with CF Montreal, and then hurt his shoulder, hurt his groin, and various injuries that ailed him and that plagued him. Do you think that there are other moves upcoming here for interim sporting director Gabriel Gervais, also the team's president?
I'd love to say that there are plenty of incomings on the way. I mean, all the things that we're kind of talking about, I think that it gets solved if you find two creative midfielders, just one actually, like
two. Crazy. I mean, I know.
Well, I'm a crazy person, but like Bryce Duke isn't that player. He's just not. He wears the number 10. He doesn't play like a number 10. He has been far more comfortable deeper in midfield, and that's fine. Like, you can carve out a niche there for Montreal and, you know, be that guy, but he is not the player that you want to be you know, taking shots on, playing those 1-2 balls with Joseph Martinez. He's not that guy. It's not going to happen. I think you'll see more outgoings. They have a very bloated squad at the moment. They had to leave, who was it? They had to leave George Campbell, Toy out, obviously, Lassie Lapalainen. Like, you're leaving all these guys out. Toy and Lapalainen on massive wages, like enormous wages for a club that has the budgetary restrictions of Montreal. So I think the club actually just did right by him in that I didn't think that he was going to be, there was a club option on his contract for one more year. Considering the amount of money he made and the fact he could not stay healthy, there was no way Mason Toy was coming back to this football club. And so they sent him to Portland, and hopefully he can stay healthy and actually, you know, make it so that either the Timbers or someone else around Major League Soccer see some tape and say, that is that guy.
And links back up with two of his ex-teammates in James Pantemis and Kamal Miller.
That's right. That's right. So they'll be on the golf course. Mason Toy, apparently a very, very good golfer. This is what I've been told by several people. Yeah, he's a pretty interesting cat. I'm not going to lie. But the two guys coming in, like, it was so funny. I'm sure we all joked about it that the day that Tom Pierce was announced, Laurent Courtois in the morning said, we need cover at right back. And Montreal was like, we have signed a left back. And you're like, oh, no, this is just classic CF Montreal. But look, they went out.
Undermining now.
That's right. So they tried to address it. I have no idea. Like, again, when you're signing players from the Italian Serie C and guys who are playing in League One and not playing in League One. Pierce only had 11 appearances the last season he played with Wigan. You really have no idea about them. I'm sure Montreal fans are happy there's people coming in, but you're not addressing the problem. You're not addressing the problem on this team, which is you need a number 10 or someone who is that Georgi Mihailovic hybrid 8-10 that Montreal have basically been searching for since he went to AZ Alkmaar. So I don't think that's going to happen this offseason, this transfer window. I hope that it's addressed, obviously, in the offseason, but I imagine you're going to see probably two more outgoings if I was Gabriel Gervais, just based on the fact that you don't want guys who are established MLS players sitting out of the first team, just sitting up in the stands. And I think it's a product of all those chances that Vasily Kremenzidis and Olivier Renault were forced to take because of the budgetary restrictions, where they're just like, oh, we'll take a flyer on this guy. We'll take a flyer on that guy. Well, now there's four or five guys who they've taken flyers on, and we just haven't seen play enough or do anything out there on the pitch. And so they gotta trim the fat, even though I know a lot of CF Montreal fans want to see more players coming in.
Does trimming the fat include offloading Victor Wanyama?
Oh boy. To where? Like, that's really the question. I don't know anything about what's going on in Africa. Does he want to go back to playing in Kenya? Something like that. Like, there is no club around Major League Soccer who's going to take Victor Wanyama. It's not going to happen, either based on the wages. I mean, I'm watching him after the game in that matchup against TFC, and he's doing his post-match cool down. And his legs just aren't bending. Like, it's just not happening. Like, he's just old. I love Victor Wanyama. I've said it over and over again. I watched him when Tony Watt scored that 2-1 goal against Barcelona. And that was like a top five footballing moment for me as a Celtic fan. I've been watching his career forever. But it's time. Like, it was time last year. It was time last season. And I know on pretty good authority that was not a decision by Olivier Renault or Vasily Kremenzidis to bring Victor Wanyama back last season. It was, again, something that was imposed on the sporting side of this club. And so, you'd love to see it because he's making so much money, because there have been rumors about him being a malcontent behind the scenes for obvious reasons. You don't want your career to be ending this way if you're Victor Wanyama. But I just don't think there's any club out there that at least I can see that would take Victor Wanyama at the age and the fitness level and the lack of appearances that he's been getting for Montreal.
Yeah, he's been rusty with the lack of minutes, and he's lost a step or two or three. But can you imagine him sitting in the doctor's office and like, Victor, what seems to be the problem? Like, my legs don't bend.
I have knees.
I have zero flexion.
Have you heard of shin splints? I have knee and quad splints. It's very straight.
Femur and lower leg bones have fused.
it's just painful watching him. Like, it's painful. Yeah. He looks like he's in pain playing football, and he's apparently healthy. So, you know, like, I know that Victor and his people will probably not be pleased with this conversation, but it is so clearly time for him. And if people around him aren't telling him, look, Nathan Saliba is far ahead of you. Samuel Piet, Mathieu Chouinard, Bryce Duke. I mean, at this point, throw Alessandro Biello out there. Like, it's just he's an immovable object in the middle of the pitch when he plays. And when he does play, it is a similar thing to what I said against that game against TFC, where you look at the team sheet and you're like, they are not winning this game. It is just not going to happen if you have number two in the middle of the park, especially when there's just two midfielders out there.
Okay, so I'll put this question to you to wrap things up here on CF Montreal 3 Questions, week 275. What do you think happens here? So Leagues Cup kicks off on Saturday against Orlando City. If this team has an outside shot to make the playoffs, because given the current run of form, I would say that they will remain on the outside looking in. They crashed out of the Canadian Championships. This is the only kind of trophy or silverware that is left available to them. How do you think that they need to approach this matchup with Orlando City, who started the season very, very poorly, but have been on a great run of form recently?
Yeah, kind of the exact opposite of CF Montreal. What's weird about this club is that for whatever reason, and I know it hasn't happened in the Canadian Championship the last 2 years for Montreal, for whatever reason, historically, whatever's going on in the league, they have showed up for these kind of outside competition games. I don't know what it is. I really don't know. I mean, people have spoken about what used to happen in the CONCACAF Champions League for obvious reasons for this club. What needs to happen? Another player in midfield, please. Like, for I feel like I'm banging my head against the wall.
We're talking in circles here.
I don't want to say it anymore. Like, it's just so clear. It's such a clear and obvious error that needs to be rectified for this team. But also, I think that, like we were kind of saying earlier, you need to find a starting 11 and just stick with it. Just stick with it no matter what's happening, and truly give young players a chance. Like, you're on the precipice of losing this season if you're Montreal. Like, I know it feels like you're on the edge of the playoffs, but you really more so are on the edge of things going the wrong way very, very fast, where there's, what, 2 points between them and, like, 14th in the East? Like, it's very, very difficult. So I think that you need to play Nathan Saliba. I think you need to play Mathieu Chouinard for obvious reasons. Just make some big, ruthless calls if you are CF Montreal manager Laurent Courtois. Live by them. See, and hopefully you don't die by them, and see what really kind of works out for you. Because in terms of tactically, what I want to see are players out there who are going to perform one way or the other. I just don't see it for Montreal at the moment. And I don't think, you know, saying that Rouen needs to bomb down the right, obviously. Raheem Edwards needs to get stuck in. Joel Waterman has to help the attack, from the back. I just don't think those things necessarily matter. I think that it's more so that the coach, the manager, has to come out and really give these players a lot of confidence out there on the pitch. And hopefully a switch is flipped for this team.
Well, it's one of these things where the competition itself could be the catalyst to change their fate, and that could lead into league play, and that's what you hope, I guess, if you're a CF Montreal fan. But we'll leave it there. Thank you so much, John Still, for subbing in. We miss Grant Needham, and somewhere out there is Ollie Brett out in the ether on holiday somewhere. But always great to chat with you, and you can check out our other MLS pods, TFC and Vancouver Whitecaps, and weareFootyPrime.com for some swag and some delicious gin. I need to get you a bottle, John Still. It's called One Bowl Gin, and it is excellent gin.
I would love to try it, but I will drink it in solitude, because I have been known once drinking gin to basically morph into another person. Gin is like my kryptonite. It's like, do you want to see John with a black eye tomorrow? And it's like, oh, give him some gin. Don't do that. But I would love to try it, because I have heard from multiple people that it is very, very delicious.
And also now I'm very curious to see what happens when you consume said gin. So we maybe need a night out on the town, or you can come over to and then hang out with me and JP, and we'll just set up a camera and see what ensues.
I certainly am. Thank you, Amy.
All right. Thanks, John. And cheers for listening, everybody.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter. What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/FootyPrime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show. Oh.